Eternal and everlasting God, we thank you for letting us have a little talk with you, having confidence that when we speak to you, everything will turn out all right. We thank you for your goodness to each one of us, for these persons who have led us in song this day. We pray your blessings upon them and upon all that they love in their house, that healing would take place wherever healing needs to take place. We bless your name for the youth of our church gathered in the balcony as one unit of worshipers. Bless them and keep them in your care. Be with them in their studies. We pray for their parents, that the parental guidance that you give to them, they will pass on to their children. Thank you for these clergy persons who have participated in the liturgy of the worship this day. Bless them and may their gifts flourish in this place and elsewhere. How we bless your name for those who have come to worship this day. For our visitor, we pray your blessings upon him and his work and his love. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, in the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. The people who love God said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. I would that you would turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Paul and his son in the ministry, Timothy. In chapter 1, it says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishop and the deacons, grace be unto you. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi and shares with them his concern for their love for Christ and his pressing toward Jesus. He begins in that first verse by saying, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Paul then identifies the things that he has gone through. And he says in that 10th verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may obtain that for which also I am obtained of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to appertain, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Almighty King. My brothers and sisters, you can overcome your past. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, you can overcome your past. It is impossible to succeed in life without overcoming your past. Some of our past is positive, but all of us have some negative past. For the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some of us have past, a past that we are not proud of. We would that no one knows our past. But I can tell you that there is one that knows your past. He knows all about us. He knows our frame. There are some of us who have done some things in life that we're not proud of. But thanks be to God that we have a God that is forgiving. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, you can overcome your past. I'm not going to be long today because some of us are worried about getting home before it starts raining. Some of us are worried about the wind, and some of us are worried about whether HEB has restocked the shelves. We'll get home, get those eggs and bacon, get to the store. But let me tell you something. Before you go, you need to understand, and we need to understand, that we can overcome our past. Our past should not determine our future, but our future should be determined by our love of God, our commitment to excellence in serving God and meeting the needs of humankind. Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi, knowing that the church at Philippi know about his past. They know that in his early youth, when Stephen was being martyred for the cause of Christ, that there was a young boy named Saul who held the coats of those who would throw stones at the first deacon, the man of God. The Bible says that as Stephen was dying, that he prayed to God and said, hold this, do not charge them with this. Hold, do not let this be on their account. The Bible says that when the man of God called Stephen was dying, that Christ, who was seated at the right hand of the Father, that he stood when he was dying. The question is, will Christ stand when you get ready to enter into glory? The Bible helps us by saying that this young man named Saul held the coats of those who were casting stones to take the life of a man who was perfect in his service to God. Later, we find him, because of his cognitive skills, because of his studies, because of God's gift to him of great intellect. The Bible says that he had studied to be a rabbi. The record is that he had rabbinical training, and because of his training, he knew the law. And because he knew the law, he knew the books of Moses. He knew the Levitical law. And Saul, because he knew the law, was a follower of the law. It is painful when you know the law and don't know the lawgiver. Oh, help me somebody. It's painful when you know the word of Christ but you don't know Christ for yourself. It's hurtful when you can quote scripture but do not know
the Christ of the scripture. Y'all not walking with me. There are many people who know in their hearts the word of God. They can repeat the word of God, but they do not know God. They do not know the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. Saul knew the law, but he didn't know Christ. And the Bible tells us that he's on the Damascus Road, and all of us have and must have a Damascus experience, a Damascus Road experience, when we're going to do something evil and God stops us. It ought to be somebody here that you were on your way to do wrong, and God put a sign, or God spoke to you and changed your direction. Saul is on his beast, and he's riding, going toward Damascus to tear down the church, to put in cuffs, to tie up and to bring to Jerusalem those who were people of the way. When I say people of the way, the Christians were first called people of the way because they followed the way of Christ. Can I help you here? Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get in heaven. You can't live a life of holiness and a life of righteousness unless you know the way. Unless you are willing to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Saul, as he's called, prior to his meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road, as he's riding on his beast, there shines a light. I like how he told King Agrippa. He said to King Agrippa, "Oh, King Agrippa, this thing didn't happen in a corner, but it happened in the daylight time. For there shined from heaven a light brighter than the noonday sun. And I fell from my beast, and I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" In the midst of his learning, he didn't have a burning. Can I say something to our young people? Young people, no matter how much you learn, don't lose the burning. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your love for Christ. Don't lose your prayer life. Don't lose your spiritual life. No matter what they tell you, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. I know what some scientists say, that God had nothing to do with it, but I like what John 1:1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And without him was nothing made that was made. So my brothers and sisters, we need to remember to tell our children that God created the heavens and the earth, and that you and I are creations of God, that God on that sixth day made man and gave us dominion over everything. That's why Psalms 8 says, "Lord, Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him and that you come down to visit him?" Thank God for the visit of Jesus the Christ. For had he not come down, we would not know God. We would not know the mercy and the love and the compassion of the true and living God. And so the Bible helps us to understand that it doesn't matter how much you know. If you don't know Christ, you need to forget the things of the past. Listen to the text. The text helps us. Paul writes to share with them and gives them a history of who he is and what he has been through. Paul writes and says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, verse 4 of that third chapter, if any other man thinketh that he had thereof, he might trust in the flesh, I have more. No matter what you think you know about the flesh and trusting in the flesh, I know more about that than you. Listen to what he says in that fifth verse. Circumcised the fifth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained of me, those I count loss for Christ. Though I have gained much learning, I count that all loss for Christ. And then Paul writes and says to them in that 13th verse, brother, I count not myself to have appertained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I've forgotten the bad things of my past. And let me tell you something. I have 3 points and then I'm going to my seat. If you are to overcome your past, you must decide to take control of your life before circumstances or other people do. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, take control. Take control of your life. The solution begins with you. When I think of someone taking control of their lives, I think of that young prodigal son, that man in Luke chapter 15 that had 2 boys. But the younger son said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. The Bible says that he goes off into a far country and wastes his living. He wasted with harlots. He wasted partying all the time. And when all of his money was gone, he didn't have anybody to loan him. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, people gravitate. People go to folk that got stuff. But if you don't have anything, they walk away from you. And that's what happened to this young boy. They walked away from him, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, gave him a job. Here is a Jew. Here is a boy that is working in a hog pen. He's working outside of his tradition. He's working outside of how he grew up. Can I say something to our young people? You may walk away from the church. You may go away from the church, but don't end up in a hog pen. Don't end up where you have never been before. Don't end up in a roach-infested apartment. You didn't grow with roaches. Help me, somebody. Don't grow up. Don't find yourself in that kind of situation, in that kind of predicament. But he finds himself in that, but he takes control. Listen to what he says. I will arise and go to my father. I'm taking control. I'm taking control of my being. I'm taking control of my life. I will arise and go to my father and say to my father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. So your servants have bread and bread enough to start to bread enough to spare. And here I am starving. You don't have to starve. You don't have to waste your life in sin. Take control of who you are. Take control of what God has done in your life. The solution begins with you. I will arise and go to my Father. And Jesus said in John 16 and 33 to his disciples, the world wants you. The world wants to pull you apart. Peter, the world wants to sift you. Satan wants to sift you like sand. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. You and I can overcome our past when we decide to take control of our lives before the circumstances and other people do so. Secondly, thinking of quitting? Don't. You can overcome your past. You don't have to give in to your past and say, I quit, I give up. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 said, be steadfast, always abounding in the Lord. George Frederick Handel was a musical prodigy. At 21, he was a keyboard victorious. At age 56, on April the 8th, 1741, he gave what he considered his final concert. Disappointed, filled with self-pity, he gave up. But that year, a wealthy friend named Charles Jennings encouraged Handel by giving him a piece of work based on the life of Jesus Christ. Immediately, the floodgate of inspiration opened. For 3 years and 2 days, he began writing the 260-page Messiah. In 24 days, he completed it and took another 2 days to put the musical score to it together. Think about quitting? Don't quit. Life may seem not worth living. Marriage may seem not worth saving. A job may seem not worth staying on. But can I help you here? Stay, because you and I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We now have that masterpiece called Handel's Messiah because he did not give up. Many times I think about quitting. I think about giving up. But every now and then I read God's word where Jeremiah said, I want to quit, but I can't quit because the word of God is like fire shut up in my bones. It ought to be somebody here that when you started to leave, God says, wait, I've overcome the world. God said, press toward the mark. Most of us in life have set some goals in life, but it seems like we will never reach our goal. I may have shared with you at the age of 18, at the age of 17, I quit school because I've gotten a job riding a bicycle, delivering pharmaceutical goods for Miles and Rogers Pharmaceutical Company in Dallas. The money was good. I quit for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. I didn't go to school. I left home every morning like I was going to school, but I was going to work. And I never shall forget. The farmer said to me, Robert, clean up the floor. It wasn't my job to clean up the floor. It was my job to deliver pharmaceutical goods. And so I did not clean up the floor. Came back from delivering a package with the tips in my pocket. He said, Robert, didn't I tell you to clean up that mess? I looked at him, reached and got the other deliveries to be made, took them, delivered them, got money and put it in my pocket. Said, I'm not, that's not my job. And I quit school for just a few dollars. But let me tell you what made me go back to work, what made me go back to school. At the end of the day, he said to me, he called me the N-word and said, didn't I tell you to pick up that mess? I walked out, I picked it up. I walked out, went back to my home, said to my mother, Mother, you need to go with me Monday to school. I never shall forget how she carried me back to school. She carried me back to school, whooping me all the way back. Y'all missed that. Every step of the way was up. And when I got to Lincoln High School, Mr. Friday said to me, Robert, you have missed 30 days of school. You have missed the potential of being the star in the class. And I said to him, sir, I'm not worried about being a star. I just want to be a good student. I just want to finish, because I never want anybody to say to me and call me the N-word because they can. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you can overcome your past. You can overcome your past. You don't have to take what the world calls you. You can overcome your past. And every now and then, when somebody say Dr. Jemison, oh yeah, when they say Dr. Jemison, I look back over how I almost threw it all out the door for a little piece of money. For a little piece of money. I'm saying to my young people today, don't quit. Don't give up. Keep striving for excellence. And one day, you will fulfill your goal. Doctor, attorney, educator. And whether you are a street sweeper, Martin Luther King Jr. said, be the best. Be the best. Whatever you are to be your best. Thinking of quitting? Don't. Trust God. Thirdly, the Lord redeems your life from destruction. In Psalm 103, it's a beautiful psalm. Psalm 103 helps me when I look at the Psalms and see what God is doing in the Psalms. Listen to what the psalmist has to say in Psalm 103, verses 2 through 4, and I'm finished. This is what the psalmist says. He says to us, from 103, beginning with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Then in that 8th verse, he helps us to see who God is. For he says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father panteth for his children, so the Lord panteth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. He redeems us. When others write us off, God sees what you can become. Can I tell you something? Because God saw what we could become, he sent his son to die for us. For the Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. By his wounds, we are healed. Christ redeems us. Some of us remember that old layaway. How many of you are older than 55? If you're older than 55, you know something about putting stuff in layaway. My mother, God bless her soul, didn't have the best of credit. But she wanted her boys to have something for Christmas. She bought one bicycle on credit, on layaway, and it was for Christmas. But she put it on layaway 2 weeks after the new year, paying $3 a month or a week to get that bicycle for her boys. Three boys, one bicycle. Y'all catch that in a minute. Three boys, one bicycle. Three boys. She never told us it was on layaway. Three days before Christmas, she and a friend go and get it out of layaway. Bring it home, hide it. Christmas morning, we get up, there's this bicycle under the Christmas tree. No name on it. Not Robert, not Cleveland, not James Earl. Just said a sign on it said, bicycle for the boys. Of course, you know we fought over it. Every day, we fought over that bicycle. One day she said to us, I saw you fighting yesterday over the bicycle that I put on layaway, got it out, didn't put any name on it. Robert, I was a young boy, the youngest, the middle boy. She said, what, when do you want to ride? Give me an hour of the day that you want to ride the bicycle. I said, I want to ride it first. She smiled and said, okay. James Earl, Cleveland, when I got on the bike to ride, guess what she said? Ride around the block, park it, let James Earl ride. I was upset because James Earl rode around the block 3 times. Cleveland, he rode around the block about 5 or 6 times. I said, Mother, why would you just let me ride one time? She looked at me and smiled, and she said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. God has redeemed each one of us. He has a blessing with your name on it and my name on it. He tells us in his word, forget the things of the past. Press toward the mark of a high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, don't worry about what anybody else has. God has redeemed you by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't have to push your way. God has already made a way for you. You can overcome your lying. You can overcome your stealing. You can overcome your prison time. All you have to do today is to say, Lord, here am I. Not worthy, but here am I. Don't have all I need, but here am I. Send me. I'll go. Is there anybody here today that will go for the Lord? Is there anybody here that would take the initiative to run for Christ, forgetting those things were behind me? I stretch, I reach, I make an effort to reach my heavenly home. And all the people of God said amen, and those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Thank you.
When others write you off, God sees what you can become. Church is standing. Thank you for reminding us today that we can get beyond our past. All we need to do is take control of our life and return back to the God of our salvation. Thank you for reminding us, if we're thinking of quitting, don't. Be steadfast, unmovable, and always abiding in the Word of God. Thank you for helping us to know that you, the Lord, redeems your people and redeem our lives from destruction. Thank you for paying the layaway price. Grace payment, mercy a payment, compassion a payment. And then finally, the death on the cross, the final payment. And now we can sing a song that the angels cannot sing. I am redeemed, redeemed. Come and go with us, the redeemed of Christ. For we are forgetting those things that are behind us, pressing toward the mark, the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. So we pray now that the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. The people of God who love God said amen. Amen. And those who were not afraid of the rain shouted hallelujah. Hallelujah.